Welcome to Truth and Liberty. Thank you for joining our daily live call-in broadcast, where trusted leaders bring biblical insights to the issues, and you can call in and get your questions answered in real time. According to the Bible, it's the truth you know that sets you free. So call in today to get answers, information, and resources to help you stand for truth and effect godly change in our nation and the world. And now, here's your host, E.W. Jackson.
Welcome to Truth and Liberty. I'm your host tonight, Bishop E.W. Jackson. My pleasure to be with you. Thanks for taking time to join us. We've got an exciting program for you tonight. It's jam-packed. So just strap in, because we've got a lot of things to discuss, and it's going to get you thinking. It's going to stimulate you, and I hope cause you to become prayerful about exactly what you can do to address some of these issues that we're going to look at. But first, let's get a couple of housekeeping matters out of the way. Thank you all for being with us. First of all, thank you so much for your prayers. Thank you for your support for Andrew Womack Ministries, for Truth and Liberty. This is a call-in program, and we will be taking your calls. The call-in number is 719-619-2341. That's 719-619-2341. If at any time during the course of the program you need prayer, or you're interested in some of the products that Andrew Womack Ministries offers, just go to 719-635-1111. You can call 719-635-1111. Now, really exciting event is coming up. I'm going to be there. Of course, the entire Truth and Liberty team is going to be there. Andrew Womack is going to be presiding over this event along with Richard Harris. It's the Truth and Liberty Awards Banquet 2024, May 3rd at 6 p.m. That's Mountain Time, 800 Gospel Truth Way, Woodland Park. And the keynote speaker is going to be Riley Gaines. And I'm sure you've seen and heard her. She has been speaking up on all of this gender confusion insanity that is plaguing our country. And she has been a courageous voice for sanity in the midst of all this, for Christian sanity, as opposed to this pagan, idolatrous, insane approach that is being pushed on all of us, and particularly even on our children, our kids, that somehow there's a man can really become a woman, and a woman can really become a man. And when a man shows up in the girls' locker room with all of the accoutrements of a man, everybody ought to smile real big and say, "Oh, great, you're a woman. That's all we need to know." This stuff is just crazy. Riley Gaines is going to have a lot to say. If you can be there, May 3rd, 6 p.m., on the Andrew Womack Ministries campus, you don't want to miss this. Also, awards recipients, Pat Riley and Coach Joe Kennedy, they're going to be receiving awards at the banquet. If you want to register, go to truthandliberty.net. That's truthandliberty.net. Now, on March the 29th and the 30th, that's coming up a little bit sooner, same place, Friday, 7 p.m., Saturday, 10 a.m., and 4 p.m., David the King of Jerusalem musical. Folks, if you haven't had an opportunity to attend some of these musicals at Karis College and Andrew Womack Ministries, you don't know what you're missing. You really don't. You really don't. I mean, Broadway has nothing on these. And in fact, I dare say Broadway can't touch these with a 10-foot pole. I mean, they are just outstanding productions. And you will laugh and cry and smile and get excited. It's just, they're really wonderful productions, folks. And believe me, I am not overstating the case. I walk away sometimes just kind of shaking my head at how magnificent these productions are. David, the King of Jerusalem musical, 2024, March 29th and 30th, Friday at 7, Saturday at 10 and 4. Again, if you want to register, go to awmi.net/events. That's awmi.net/events. Finally, Karis Bible College Campus Days 2024, April 3rd through the 5th. Same place, of course, again, 800 Gospel Truth Way, Woodland Park. The keynote speakers, Andrew Womack, Mike and Carrie Pickett, Greg Moore, Wendell Parr, Barry Bennett, and Daniel Bennett. They're going to be talking about what Charis Bible College means now to literally tens of thousands of people around the world. I dare say hundreds of thousands and millions who have in some way indirectly benefited from the ministry of Charis Bible College. So to register for that, go to, again, awmi.net/events. Look, the Truth and Liberty website is jam-packed with all kinds of important resources. Please take advantage of that. You can get past episodes of the program there. So if you say, I really want to get these programs, but I can't this week, I'm going to be on vacation, or I've got work that I've got to do, you can go to the website and you can get the archived versions of the archived programs that are there to be seen. So make sure that you take advantage of that. Okay, I've got a lot to cover. And just before I get into the issues I want to cover here in the first segment, I've got a great guest coming up in the second segment. I want to mention to you that this is a little bit further out. This goes to June 11th. On June 11th, STAN, my nonprofit, Staying True to Americans, to America's National Destiny, is holding our annual STAN Awards Banquet. As you probably know, last year we held it. It's always held in Northern Virginia, right outside of Washington, D.C., outside of Washington, D.C., mind you. And last year, one of our awardees was none other than Andrew Womack himself, receiving the George Washington Award for taking a stand. Well, we're having another one this year, and we are honoring Brigitte Gabrielle, most of you probably know, Johnny Hunter, one of the premier leaders of the pro-life movement, Pastor Gary Hamrick, who pastors a great church, Cornerstone Chapel, and is a great forthright, unapologetic preacher of God's word, Sandy Rios. And if you've ever listened to American Family Radio, you know who Sandy Rios is. She's going to be one of our honorees. We're also honoring posthumously the late Reverend Bishop Dean Nelson, who went home to be with the Lord in December of last year. And he was just a stalwart, and we want to honor him and give an award to his family and to the organization that he founded called the Frederick Douglass Institute. So it's going to be a great event, folks, and I hope that you can be there. Go to standamerica.us, that's standamerica.us, if you'd like to register for the program, standamerica.us. And I want to say tonight, for Truth and Liberty viewers, if you are interested in going and you're in the area, we have 8 tickets available that I'm donating for the Truth and Liberty audience. Just email me at ewjackson@ewjackson.com, ewjackson@ewjackson.com, and my staff will get you set up so that you can come at no cost to you. That's just a courtesy to you. By the way, Andrew Womack Ministries is a sponsor of the event. Andrew and his staff and family have been tremendous supporters of the event. And so you come on out, and believe me, you'll be with family on all of this. Okay, let's get to some very critical issues. This has come up, folks, in the context of what is going on in Israel, but it has, shall we say, broader implications than what is happening in Israel, frankly. I'll tell you how this came up, the issue I want to raise with you. This past week, I read about an attack on Israel, not the attack that they're suffering from Hamas, but an attack on Israel by a very prominent American spokesperson, commentator, accusing Israel of committing genocide. And this person, some of you probably know exactly who I'm talking about, and I don't want to get into that because, frankly, I don't want to make this about personal attacks on anybody, because that's not something I'm interested in. We're certainly not interested here on Truth and Liberty. But we are interested in issues. We are interested in remaining true to God's word. And I saw that, and first I wanted to verify it because I thought, wow, that seems odd. But I verified it. And this person did launch out in what I view as an ad hominem attack on Israel. Israel, mind you, the nation was birthed out of the Holocaust. The nation was birthed out of the desire of Adolf Hitler and many who had come before him, by the way, to completely wipe out the Jewish people. And so Israel is a haven and a port of safety, ordained, by the way, by Almighty God in ages past to be that haven for them, promised in his word that he would regather them in the land of promise. And so now here they are. And people who claim to be, quote unquote, conservative are attacking Israel and claiming that Israel is the bad guy. Israel is committing the war crimes. Israel is committing genocide. Well, first of all, leaving aside for the moment that on October 7th, hundreds of Jewish, innocent Jewish people were viciously attacked, run through with the sword, beheaded, women raped, all kinds of atrocities committed, just willy-nilly. I mean, there's just absolutely no basis for this whatsoever other than pure hatred of Jewish people, pure hatred of Israel. Israel then responds by going after the people who committed this, Hamas, and every time Israel enters Gaza, every time Israel tries to do something, they announce it and say to civilians, we're coming into an area, get out of the way. We're coming into an area, we don't want to hurt civilians. And what does Hamas do? They put civilians in the way. They put civilians out front. They shield themselves with women and children. Israel is going out of its way not to hurt civilians. Hamas is going out of their way to put civilians in harm's way. You know why? So they can say, see, see, see what Israel is doing? Israel is killing civilians. This is wicked. This is just plain evil, folks. And to turn the tables and make Israel the source of evil is truly ungodly. Here's what this brings me to that I want you to be thinking about. I'm going to have a guest on to talk about Israel and talk about the importance of Christians standing with Israel. If you see my sermons on Sunday mornings that I live stream, you can get those on my YouTube channel, E.W. Jackson YouTube channel. You see a big banner behind me that says stand with Israel, because that's where we stand. And why do we stand with Israel? We stand with Israel because the Bible commands us to stand with Israel. God said to Abraham, I will bless those, in Genesis chapter 12, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you, and you shall all the nations of the earth, all the families of the earth be blessed. We have an absolute responsibility and obligation before God to stand with the children of Israel for spiritual reasons that I can't go into in the depth that I would love to, but that's not what this program primarily is for. I could spend the whole rest of the program talking about the spiritual implications of our support for Israel, you know, all that Paul talked about, all that the Old Covenant talks about. Where does it come from that a person who you would think is quote unquote a conservative turns and starts attacking Israel? And this is the point I want to get to. There are conservatives and there are conservatives. And we as Christians have got to understand the distinction. We are biblical worldview conservatives because we are Christians. And our understanding of the issues is informed by the word of God. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Our minds are renewed to God's word. Our perspective is God's perspective because our perspective is based on his word, and God's word gives us his perspective. Now, this attack on Israel, I think, is something that we've seen in various forms in other ways. Just right now, for example, there's an attack on Donald Trump for selling a God Bless the USA Bible, as if selling the Bible is, I mean, every time you go buy a Bible, I've got, I don't know how many versions of the Bible, I've probably got 20 different translations and versions of the Bible. I bought every single one of them. Somebody had to print it. Somebody had to edit it. Somebody had to buy all the materials and pay all the staff and do all the things that needed to be done. Somebody had to make a profit on that product so that they could reinvest it in the business and continue to put that product out. What's new about this? See, the attack ultimately is not just on Donald Trump, although they certainly want to get him. The attack is on Christians. What they want to say is, you Christians are Christian nationalists. And what they really mean by that, folks, let's make no mistake about it. What they really mean by that is, you Christians are Nazis. That's what they're getting at. You Christians are racists. You Christians are xenophobes. You Christians are the equivalent of Nazis, because we love our country, we pray for our country, and we want the best for our country. No, we are not Nazis. And by the way, I own nationalism. I think nationalism in the normal course is appropriate love, stewardship, concern for one's own nation. There's nothing wrong with that. It doesn't mean hatred for someone else. I mean, that would be me saying to you, if you say, wow, I've got to do some things to really strengthen my own home and strengthen my own household. And I say, really? Why, you hate your neighbor? You hate other people? And you look at me like I had two heads. What do you mean? Well, you're saying you want to take care of your own home. That sounds like hatred to me. That sounds like racism. Well, of course not. Or you're being responsible. Doesn't mean you hate the people who live next door. It just means you understand that your primary responsibility is to your own home. Well, America is our home. Our responsibility is to our own home first. Is that so hard for people to understand? No, but they don't want to understand it, because what they want to do is smear you and me and Donald Trump and others who love our country. So biblical worldview conservatism is not the same as secular conservatism, which is based upon people's logic and reason. And, you know, they think they're smart, and these are conclusions they've come to. And look, and I'm glad to have anybody we can have as allies. However, that does not mean that they are reliable in the trenches. That does not mean that they are reliable in the foxhole, because it means that their convictions are not rooted and grounded in anything deeper than their own personality, their own intellect, their own ability. But you and I, as Christians, our convictions are rooted and grounded in God's word and our relationship with Him and the anointing of the Holy Spirit that is on our lives and the revelation that God has given us. That's the basis of our conservative convictions. We're pro-life because the word of God says so. In Deuteronomy 30:19, choose life that you and your seed may live. We are pro-family as God ordained it, and we believe there are only two genders because the word of God said so. Jesus said, in the beginning, God made them male and female. Therefore shall a man leave his mother and father and cling to his wife. And that word wife means woman, and they too shall be one flesh. Not two men, not two women, but a man and a woman. And we support Israel because the word of God says so, and I just quoted the verse to you. And there are many others I could quote as well. So here's the basis of our patriotism and love for country. And I've just got four scriptures I want to share with you. Psalm 9:17 says, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. Well, then, if I'm a Christian and I believe that that's what happens when a nation forgets God, wouldn't I want my nation to remember God? Psalm 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. Well, if blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, if that's the key to being blessed as a nation, wouldn't I want my nation to have God as our Lord? If I want my country to be blessed, and I do want it to be blessed, why? Well, what do you want it to be cursed? Well, that wouldn't make any sense. You live here. We live here. Of course we want our country to be blessed. Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. In other words, righteousness lifts a nation up. Sin brings a nation down. Well, then if I want my nation to be lifted up, wouldn't I want my nation to be established in righteousness rather than wickedness? And then Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when a wicked man rules, the people mourn. Wouldn't I want my country, I believe Proverbs 29:2, wouldn't I want my country to be led by the righteous rather than the wicked? If righteousness causes people to rejoice and righteous people in authority causes people to rejoice, wouldn't I want my country rejoicing rather than groaning or mourning, as some translations say? I want to encourage you, don't be cowed or intimidated or take a step back because somebody says, oh, you're a Christian nationalist. Don't be moved by that. That's a canard that is intended to smear you, to discourage you, to make you think that loving our country, wanting the best for our country, is doing something wrong. And by the way, these left-wing rags will pick up things that I say on this program and other places, and they'll run with it and to show how bad we are. But here's what they won't pick up when they say, we love the people who disagree with us. We don't hate them. We love them. We hate what they stand for, but we love them, and we want the best for them. We want them to be in heaven with us one day. We want them to know the God we know. We want them to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We want them to turn from their wicked ways, and they are wicked. When you're going against God, that is wickedness. But we want them to turn from their wicked ways so they can receive the very best that God has for them. Hatred, my goodness gracious, nothing could be further from the truth. Look, somebody heard a prayer meeting that I sponsor and heard somebody that they thought was speaking harshly about illegal immigrants. I think this illegal immigration situation is an absolute scourge on our country. It is an invasion, but I don't hate a single illegal immigrant, not even the ones who are vicious criminals. I don't even hate them. I want them dealt with justice. If they're bad people, they need to be put in jail. I don't want people coming into our country illegally because it's disorderly, and the Bible says let all things be done decently and in order. And it's destabilizing to our country. And I owe my first responsibility to my nation, not to their nations. But I don't hate them. I don't want to kill them. I don't want to harm them. I just want our borders to be secure. They won't. These left-wing monitors that watch me and watch Andrew and watch many of us and look for ways to criticize us, they won't ever repeat that. They won't ever repeat our expressions of love for people, because they don't want people to hear that. They want to convince people that we're full of hatred, we're out to hurt people. I mean, you and I know, God's not going to bless that. God is not going to honor that. And that's not what's in our hearts, because frankly, the love of God has been shed in brought in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, and we love them. But we love our country, and we have a right as stewards of the nation that God has given us to defend what our country represents to us and to the world, to defend it. And we will. We must. And I've said many times, Lord knows, I wouldn't want to hurt a single soul. I really don't. I pray that is never necessary. But if someone came into my home with the intention of harming me or harming my wife, I am going to deal with that person. I'm going to deal with them violently, if that's what it takes. And I won't owe anybody an apology for it. And I really believe that if I sat back and said, well, I'm a Christian. If you want to rape my wife, you want to harm us, just go right ahead. Because as a Christian, I shouldn't do anything about that. That wouldn't be right. I think God would dope slap me and say, boy, what's wrong with you? I gave you that beautiful wife. I gave you that home. I didn't send you out to harm people, but I expect you to defend what I've given you and to defend those under your responsibility and under your stewardship. And the same is true for our country, folks. It's no different. In the same way, I've said somewhat jokingly, I've told people, you know, you break in my house to do me or to do my wife or do my family, my children, my grandchildren harm, I will shoot you, then pray for you. And I mean it. I really would pray for you. If I could get to you before you, I'd say, listen, Jesus loves you. He wants you. Repent of your sins now. He'll receive you. Because I believe that with all my heart. It wouldn't be done out of hatred. It would really be done out of love. Love for those whom God has given me responsibility for. Hatred only in the sense that I hate wrongdoing. You know, even the Bible says in Psalm 119 verses 104 and 128, all your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right. Therefore, I hate every false way. I don't hate people, but I hate wrong. I hate sin. I hate destruction. I hate those things that do terrible harm to human beings. I don't hate homosexuals or transgenders, but I hate what they're trying to do to children. I hate that. And I'm going to defend those children in whatever righteous way I can. I don't hate the abortionist, but I certainly hate the killing of an unborn child. And I'm going to do everything in my power to see to it that those children are saved and have an opportunity to live and not be denied what you and I have been blessed to experience, which is life, the pleasure of life, the joy of life. Somebody says, well, now, wait a minute, but Bishop Jackson, some of these children are born into terrible circumstances. You know what? The same thing could have been said of me and many of you watching right now. The same thing could have been said of you. But look at what you've made of your life. It hasn't been perfect. No one's life is, even the people born under the most propitious circumstances, wealth, influence, whatever. Their lives can be fraught with all kinds of problems and pains and tragedies and difficulties. That's just the nature of life in a fallen world. How dare we think we have a right to snuff out the life of an unborn child because we think that child's life will not amount to anything. Or we think that child should not be allowed to live. Or we think that child is inconvenient. But in spite of all of that, we love the woman who has been misguided into wanting to kill her unborn baby. We love even the people who are facilitating that process. We love them too. We just hate what they're doing. We are biblical worldview conservatives. We're not secular conservatives. We're not half-baked conservatives. We're not, just make it up as you go along conservatives. We're biblical worldview conservatives. And the fact of the matter is, we're Bible-believing Christians, and people just have a category that they put us into and call us conservative. But the reality is, we're really just Bible-believing Christians. That's who we really are. And people want to pigeonhole us and put us into little boxes and whatnot. And, it's what the world does. I mean, they did the same thing with Jesus, right? I mean, his own family said, he's beside himself. He was the most sane man who ever walked the face of the earth. So, look, you just maintain your Christian equanimity. You maintain your sense of integrity and honor and love and decency toward others. They'll do the name calling and they'll do the hatred against you and want to hurt you and destroy you. You just continue to believe God. There's an old song that says, talk about me as much as you please. When you talk, I'm going to stay on my knees. Stand by, folks. We'll be back with more of Truth and Liberty in just a moment.
I'd like to invite you to join me either as an attendee or as a sponsor of our Truth and Liberty Awards banquet in 24. We started this last year. And this year, the winner of our Samuel Adams Award is Pat Bradley with Crisis Aid International. I tell you, he is one amazing person. And then Coach Joe Kennedy gets the Samuel Whitmore Award. And I tell you, that's going to be great. And our guest speaker is Riley Gaines, the lady that has been standing up for, getting men out of women's sports. It's going to be a great time. It's May the 3rd. It'll be at our Caris Bible College. And we do have sponsorships. This is a fundraiser as well as an award banquet. So if you would go to our website at truthandliberty.net, you can get all the information and join us on May the 3rd for our Truth and Liberty Awards banquet.
At Truth and Liberty Coalition, we work to unify, educate, and mobilize the body of Christ to change nations. That's why I want to encourage you to go to our website at truthandliberty.net and subscribe so that you can begin receiving regular updates about our show, news items, action alerts, blog posts, and much, much more. All you have to do is go to the website, click subscribe, share your email address, and you'll begin to be equipped to stand for truth in the public square.
We're back with more of Truth and Liberty. I'm your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson. Great to be with you tonight. Thanks for joining us. Got a great guest coming up here in just a second. Let me just remind you, though, that if you want prayer or you want to get some of the products that are available through Andrew Womack Ministries, go to 719-635-1111. That's 719-635-1111. And we are going to be taking your calls. In fact, we'll get some calls in this segment. The call-in number is 719-619-2341. That's 719-619-2341. We'll be happy to take your calls, and I and my guests will do our best to respond appropriately to whatever you have to say or whatever questions you might have. Okay, well, my guest, folks, is somebody who was recommended to me by a dear friend who is a regional director of CUFI, Christians United for Israel. And I said, who would you recommend? He said, this is the person. This is the person. And after having had a brief discussion with him, I said, he's right. This is the person. This guy has traveled to Israel on numerous occasions. He's led trips to Israel. And he is one of these Christians who's spoken all over this country and all over the world for the gospel of Jesus Christ and has a love for God, obviously, a love for God's people and a love for the children of Israel. And I wanted to talk to somebody about Israel because of these attacks that are now going on, these attempts to paint Israel as the bad guy. Israel's committing genocide. Israel is doing bad things and forgetting the fact that Israel's surrounded by people who believe that the best outcome is the complete annihilation of Israel and the Jewish people. Folks, Scott Gilbert has traveled America, as I've said before. He has been involved with CityQuake and Lifestyle Christianity. He coaches, he equips. And this guy is an all-round Renaissance man, Renaissance Christian maybe, I should say, if you will, because he actually is a Christian martial arts trainer. And he established Savior Martial Arts, which is the largest Christian martial arts academy in the world. I said, if somebody comes into my house to hurt me and my wife, maybe I need to be able to call Scott. So, but folks, our guest tonight is Scott Gilbert. Scott, thanks for taking time out to join us here on Truth and Liberty, my friend. It is good
Thank
to
you,
have
Bishop.
You with us.
It is an honor to be with you, sir. I follow you like a fan, and I'm just thankful to be an encouragement to your listeners today.
Well, that's awfully kind of you. Well, look, before we get into talking about Israel, tell us a little bit about your background, because when you told me about your background in martial arts and using that to win people to Christ, talk a little bit about that, because I think people will find that fascinating.
It is. It's really interesting what the Lord did with me. So just real quick, I have followed the Lord since I was a little boy. I was a child, and I would talk to Jesus like a child talks to their stuffed animals in bed at night. And there was a connection my whole life. I came to the Lord in fullness when I was about 14 years old and received him in fullness the way, you know, most of your listeners would understand. But I always wanted more. I knew there was more than just maybe what I was seeing in the church experience and kind of getting God in a box in some ways. When I was about 12 years old, my parents enrolled me in a small martial arts program. I had always wanted to do it. I'm a small guy. I was a small kid. It wasn't a reaction. I wasn't being bullied or picked on. It was just something cool to do. Back in the 80s, there were no child programs in the early 80s. It was adult programs. And my family enrolled me in a program with a wonderful instructor, just a really good man. And I learned the value of courtesy, the value of kindness, the value of respect and standing up for yourself and believe in yourself. And it really became a backbone for everything that I did after that. Kick and punch and block and break and boards, throwing people three times your size is cool. But at the end of the day, what the martial arts gave me was an understanding of how valuable I was as a person, how valuable everybody else was. So there was no glorification of violence. You know, we don't go out there trashing bozos, as they say. But when I understand how valuable I am in the eyes of the Lord, I get a clear understanding of my identity. Then the reason that I'm involved in martial arts or anything is not so much about me, it's how I can influence the world around me, how I can be a better husband, a better employer, more selfless. That's what I got out of the martial arts. So fast forward, I'm also a lawyer. I went to Regent University in Virginia Beach, got my law degree a long time ago, about 25 years ago. And to stay sane during law school, which I understand, sir, you may remember those years.
Oh, yes.
Yes, it's definitely a season of travail. I started a small Christian martial arts program at a little church one night a week to stay sane during law school. And over the years, it grew and grew and grew. And after 3 years, when I'm sitting for the bar exam, ready to, you know, start my life, sat for the bar in Virginia. And the Lord said to me, what would it look like if you used everything I gave you for my glory and not yours? That was one of the first times I heard the Lord speak in my heart. And so I took all that education, everything I did, and I started, and I just vision casted. What would it look like to have a fully professional, quality, God-honoring martial arts program that develops people? We say we build black belts from the inside out, creating awesome people. That's what I've been doing for almost 30 years. And in that process, yes, I have been to Israel many times. The program we teach to adults is called Krav Maga. It's from Israel. It's from the IDF. We've been, you know, very connected to, you know, high ups in Israel because of that. And I've been there many times. And I love the Jewish people. And I love the land. And I love being a Christian, knowing that I am grafted into that, right? It says we're grafted into the root of Abraham. So if you're a Christian, you are grafted into what's happening in Israel right now. That is your family. The Lord, it says in Ephesians chapter 2, the Lord has broken the separation between Jew and Gentile. We are all one, redeemed because of the cross. So it's actually very personal to me as a spirit-filled believer of what's happening to my brothers and sisters in Israel.
Well, Scott, to me too. This is a perfect segue, because what prompted this discussion was a very prominent conservative attacking Israel and saying that Israel was committing genocide defending themselves against Hamas. And we know what Hamas, the game they play. They put civilians out front. They shield themselves with women and children because they don't care about life. They are a death cult. But talk a little bit about Israel's defense of itself and defense of its borders and its people and their right to do that.
Beautiful. Thank you. Yes, because I think really what it comes down to is your understanding of what I would call a biblical right to self-defense. Does that exist? And when you look in the Word and you see God's heart, not just for Israel, but also for us as they're grafted in, what is God's heart for man? His heart is that we would live. Right? That we would have, Jesus said, life and life abundantly. Death is not a victory in any way. Oh, death, where is their victory? Where is your sting? Yes, I'm going to put this tent off one day and I'm going to go on to glory. But in the time that I'm here, I'm supposed to be, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men. Mm-hmm. We are supposed to be so shining on this world that people see us and they give glory to God. Well, I can't do that if I don't know who I am and I don't know my value. I don't know the value of my children, the value of my family. So if I'm that valuable, then that means other people are that valuable. And when my brothers and sisters in Israel have come under horrendous attack, and we don't have to go into the minutiae of the gore and the graphicness of it, but this was something that would make the Nazis blush. Really, what happened on October 7th, if you research and you know what really went on, it would make the most hardened Nazis in World War II blush.
By the way, Scott, I went to the embassy and saw a video chronicling what happened. And there were people who literally, there were hard men in that room who couldn't stand it. They had to get up and walk out with tears in their eyes over the things they saw. Yeah. So you are absolutely right.
Yeah. And I think every, you know, reasonable human in America, if they did the research and looked into that, they would probably have that same reaction.
Yes.
If you are a sane human and you saw what they did, you would say, okay, well, now the question is, what do we do about it? How
right.
do I handle that? And I like to explain to my students, because, you know, I've got people that come in over the years that are varying levels of pacifist. I mean, they understand their need to feel safe and protect themselves. Everybody kind of has that. But then there's always a question of, how far do I go? Do I just run away? Do I have to stand and fight? Do I knock the guy to the ground? How bad do I have to do? And what I always tell people is, it really comes down to you and your decision. You know, you are the temple of God. It says, 1 Corinthians 3:16, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple? God's spirit lives in you. You got to know who you are so you have value on yourself. And then the next verse says, and if anybody destroys God's temple, God takes this really seriously. God will destroy them. For you are that temple, and that temple is sacred. So now I have a stewardship question.
Amen.
Bishop. I think it's a stewardship of this right that I have been given. I am valuable. Therefore, how do I steward that? Now, can I lay myself down? Yes. You can choose to do that. You can choose, it says, to surrender your body to the flames. You can choose to do that. But I cannot choose to do for you to do that. I can choose for
Amen.
Me, but I can't tell you that you need to stand there and let them beat you to a pulp, rape your wife. I could make that choice, but it's actually immoral to not stand up for the weak. Mm-hmm. And I believe that is a message of the cross. Is that the God of the universe stepped across time, became a man, lived a perfect life in this world, died in my place because something I can't do. He who had everything became nothing for me. Jesus models this beautifully. He stewarded what he had because I'm so valuable. Now, how are you going to steward what you have? Are you going to protect the temple? And, you know, that's my industry. That's what we do. We teach people how to protect the temple in healthy ways. So I don't believe it's moral for me to sit on this side of the chair and tell you what you have to do. You can't protect your wife. You can't protect your home. You'll stand before God and make all those decisions. And Israel will stand before God and answer to what they're doing. But it is not incumbent upon me to moralize and tell them what they can and cannot do. I can tell you what I would do. And in my situation, I loved in your last segment, in my situation, if you had a neighbor that has lived next door to you for many, many years, and they're constantly, accusing you, cursing you, telling you they're going to kill you. And then one day you have a family reunion, you have a bunch of family over, and the next door neighbor that hates you brings a gang of drugged out ruffians that come into your yard. They beat up your grandmother. They shoot your brother in the head. They rape your wife and your daughters. They drag away your five-year-old and your teenage son into captivity. What are you going to do? I think every sane person in America would say, I am going to do everything for the rest of my life to get my family back.
Amen.
I'm going to get my five-year-old
Amen.
Back. I think it would be incredibly immoral and I don't even know the word, but to tell somebody that they can't do that is a level of disrespect for human life that is staggering to me.
And Scott, look, I really believe that God would never be pleased to take that in a passive way, because it would be an abdication of one's responsibility of stewardship. I mean, that's
it
the
is.
Word that keeps
yes.
coming up, doesn't it? Stewardship
yes,
for the innocent, for those whom you're charged to protect. Let's talk a little bit about the spiritual dimension of this too, because obviously there is a target on Israel's back. And we know that target was put there by the devil because he hates whatever God loves. He hates whatever God has established, whatever God creates. He hates mankind because God created us. He hates Israel because they're covenant people. He hates Christians because we're God's covenant people. So in a very real way, if you tie Israel's hands, you really are playing into the hands of the devil. Because we just had recently, for example, the administration saying that they want Israel to engage in a ceasefire, even though Hamas has shown absolutely no willingness. In fact, they're doubling down now on holding 100 Israeli hostages. But the Biden administration is pushing Israel to just declare a ceasefire. So in other words, just stop doing anything about it. You are basically saying to the devil, here we are, just go ahead and do whatever you want to do to us. And that's also not the will of God for us, to turn ourselves over. The Bible says, resist the devil, not submit to the devil.
Yeah. No, I love that. It's a beautiful segue. Yeah, it says submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. So what do? First, we submit to God. We lay ourselves before the Lord.
Amen.
And say, Lord, you have given me a stewardship over my family, my business. Pick your area of influence.
My country, right.
Yeah, my country. How shall I steward that, Lord? And then you pray about it. You hear him because the Lord says, my sheep hear my voice. And then it's incumbent upon you to do that. Now, with Israel, back to the analogy of if it's your neighbor that drags your family away, you now have a decision to make. Are you going to step up and do the scary thing and go into battle and maybe die for the weak, for the lesser? You know, our country had that as a value for hundreds of years. You know, the American Civil War, 600,000 men died to make other people free. Nazi Germany, you know, all these boys left the farm in the 1940s and they went to fight an army over the other side of the world, right? The most evil, you know, empire the world probably had ever known. They left their jobs in all over the place. We didn't need to do that, but we did that because we had a value on innocent life.
Yes.
And our boys stepped up. And I like to think that there are still people today who would step up and say, when the chips are down, I'll be the one standing for righteousness. And I'll even put my life on the line for the weak. There are still people out there. They're just not in the news. They're still out there. Yeah.
Yes, indeed. Folks, we are prepared to take some calls. The number is 719-619-2341. That's 719-619-2341. Scott, let's talk about another dimension of this issue, and that is the world sort of seeming to gather together. Here you got this very, very, I mean, a tiny nation, really, a very tiny nation, and yet the whole world seems to be united against them. And the only nation that's pretty much stood apart from that is the United States of America consistently. And even and now, apparently, this administration is breaking with that conviction. But you mentioned earlier, you said you didn't get into martial arts because you were bullied. But in some ways, Israel is being bullied. I mean, they're being told by the whole world, you're bad, you're evil, you're no good, we got to do something about you. The whole United Nations is against Israel, other than the United States of America. So what do you do when you're in a situation where you seem to be outnumbered, outmanned, outgunned?
Well, I will tell you, I think that means you're doing it right. Honestly, I think that means, because there's the, you know, Jesus said that he called the devil the god of this world. You know, the god of this world is coming. He has nothing in me. When the world is all turning against Israel and turning against Christians, that tells me that we're doing it right, because our enemy is taking a stand against us. I don't shrink back at that time. That's an indication that we're doing it right. Isaiah 60 comes to mind. It says, darkness will cover the earth. Deep darkness, the people, and deep darkness is like mental illness level deep darkness. They can't even do anything about it. Darkness will cover the earth, deep darkness the people, but it goes on to say, but my light will shine on you brighter than ever before. Amen. And so many of us in the churches in America are praying for revival. We stand in our churches with our hands in the air. We're like, Lord, bring revival. Well, what if revival looks like darkness is going to cover the earth more and more, but the light in us is going to be brightened and we're going to shine so much. What if that's what revival looks like? I think it does. And I think what we're seeing right now is the precursor to possibly the great end times billion soul harvest that's coming. So I would say, Christians, stand up. This is the time to shine. You're the light of the world. Don't hide your lighter under a basket. This is the time to shine and see what the Lord does.
I believe that, Scott, with all my heart, because I see the signs of it right now. I mean, this program to me is a sign of it. And all over this country, I see Christians saying, you know, I was never involved. I didn't want to get involved. I didn't see the need to get involved. Now I'm getting involved. I'm getting involved because I see evil becoming bolder and bolder. As you say, the darkness getting deeper and deeper. And I realize I just can't sit by and pretend, oh, this is all business as usual. No, this is extraordinarily wicked. And if I don't do something, say something, if I don't step up, it will overwhelm us. And so I think you're right. I think we are seeing the prelude to what we might call maybe a third great awakening in America, something that that might even sweep the whole world. And I mean, you see, again, you see seeds. I was watching a program with Kelsey Grammer, you know, now an open Christian talking about the Lord. You know, we see Mark Mark Wahlberg coming on, talking about prayer. I mean, so I'm saying, Lord, you're doing something here in spite of all the darkness that is surrounding us. And I'm sure that as you've done ministry in the area you're doing it, you've probably seen a lot of darkness coming at you that you had to shine even more brightly in order to help people see that there's something much, much better for them than the darkness that is enveloping them.
There is, and I tell you, you know what the secret is? There's not a secret, but if there is a particle that carries the presence of God, it is love. And when you operate in love, the light casts out all darkness. And you kind of don't have to do anything. You just show up with a heart of, Lord, you love all these people. And I would even go so far as to say, are we praying for Hamas? Are we praying for the leadership? Now, I'm going to pray for confusion in their communication networks. I'm going to pray for none of their plans to work out. I'm going to pray for that. But I'm also going to pray, Lord, would you just call these men to yourself? Because, Lord, you died for them too, and you love them. Lord, would you just call them to yourself so much that they would become burning in that place, and they would become an active assault factor to the enemy of darkness that is in Hamas? Lord, would you send forth your laborers to that place? Do we pray like that? I think when we start
praying should be.
That,
we should
we will
be.
Start
we should
seeing
be.
The fruit of that. Now, I have a friend that does a lot of ministry in very scary places. He goes into the streets of Kabul and prays for the sick and sees people healed in really risky places. And, you know, praying for the Taliban and seeing them come to Jesus. And then a Taliban commander praying for someone on the battlefield and seeing resurrection. Okay, so there is a whole other level here. But here's the thing. The point is you send them back in and they become like shock troops inside the enemy's camp. It's happening all over some of the most hardened places in the world. In North Korea, this is happening. There are Christians rising in those places. Is it terrifying? Is it dangerous? Absolutely. But what if that's what we're called to be? Not just sit in our churches with our hands in the air and say, Lord, come. But what if he's saying, let's pray into these places like Gaza, and let's pray for the fire of God to open up hearts of these terrorists.
You know, Scott, I could preach a sermon on that one, because I've said Christians are talked about today. We're likened to the Taliban. But the things you just said, I said it in the first segment about loving even the people we disagree with, even the people you mentioned, people who are violent and dangerous and bloodthirsty, but we pray for them. We love them. We don't hate these people, but you'll never get that reported in the mainstream media. They'll never report, you know, these Christians were talking about loving their enemies because that's not what they want to hear. They want to hear what they can use to marginalize us and to have people believe that we are against people, when in fact we are for people, but we are against the things that we know are ultimately self-destructive. Scott, we've got a caller on the line, so let's take a call and see what Gladys from Georgia has to say. Gladys, welcome to Truth and Liberty.
Yes, hello, Bishop Jackson. How are you?
I am blessed, Gladys. Good to have you on the program.
Amen. I want to first of all thank you, welcome you to the show. You are a great addition to Truth and Liberty. So welcome. And
thank
also
you.
I want to thank you for the book that you sent to me. I was one of the callers on President Washington's birthday when I called. You sent me the book. I received it. Thank you.
You're welcome. Welcome.
All right.
Welcome.
All right. So my question is, why does our legal system seem to favor criminals?
Wow. Gladys, thank you so much for the call. Scott, why don't you go ahead and take that one?
Oh, pitch that to me.
What do you think that is?
Okay. Yeah. See, you're Harvard law, man. You should be able to answer that before me at regional law. But
well, you're the guest, so you're in the hot spot.
I honestly, Gladys, I think this is falling right in line with what the Lord said. He said at the end times, evil will be called good and good will be called evil. And you're going to see that all around. You know, Jesus says, rejoice when you face persecution of every kind. We're supposed to. How do we do that? I think the way we do that is we, first of all, don't get surprised when you see this stuff. It's fallen right into line. But again, my light will shine on you brighter than ever before. So while I'm seeing criminals being touted as good and good people being called criminals, like, Father, I just thank you that you have the end before the beginning. I thank you, Lord, that your will always be done. And as I go into this dark place, Lord, I believe that you are my light. You are the light in me. Lord, would you just let me shine right now? What does that look like? When you step out in that sort of thought process, don't get sidetracked by the fact that the darkness is rising. Let's just shine anyway, right?
Amen.
We have, well, you know, Jesus calls him the prince of the power of the air. He's the God of this world. We shouldn't be surprised when things are going south.
And Jesus said in the last days, iniquity would abound. And that word iniquity is also translated, lawlessness would abound. The love of many would wax cold. And look, I'm convinced that we are living in an age of rank idolatry. And there are three major idols that people are worshiping. They're worshiping power, they're worshiping money, and they're worshiping the satisfaction of their own perverse sexual and other lusts. And so when these are your idols and you get your hands on power, guess what that power is used for? It's used to stop anybody who would get in your way. In other words, our criminal justice system is supposed to be for punishing the lawless, for people who do harm to others, who break the law. But when you are perverse in your understanding and you're worshiping the God of power, you want that power to go after Scott, because you don't like the things Scott is saying. You want that power to go after E.W. Jackson, Andrew Walbeck, and Richard Harris, because you don't like the things that they're saying. Because that's what idolatry does. It perverts everything. It creates that Isaiah chapter 5 circumstance. Folks, stand by. We'll be back with more of Truth and Liberty in just a moment.
Andrew has many conferences and seminars around the globe each year. For the latest information on Andrew's complete speaking schedule, visit our website at awmi.net/events.
You were created with a purpose. Written in the heart of God. Long before you were born, He is calling you to find it. We want to help you experience His unconditional love, to be equipped and empowered to become a world changer.
Hey, you know, a big part of what we do here at Truth and Liberty is to provide you with the resources that you need in order to stand for truth in the public square. So I want to remind everybody to go to our website and check out our resources page at truthandliberty.net/resources, where you can find material that discusses just about every issue we're facing today in our culture. And these are things that are prepared by our strategic partners and some of the most influential and important organizations in America today.
Well, I told you this is going to be a jam-packed program, that it would be exciting, that it would really get you thinking. And this discussion that Scott and I are having, I'm sure that it stimulated a lot of thinking on your part. Please feel free to call us. The number is 719-619-2341. That's 719-619-2341. I'm on with my guest, Scott Gilbert, and he is a Renaissance Christian, if you will, because he's done a lot. Lawyer, martial arts instructor, an entrepreneur, traveler. He sponsored trips to Israel. And we're commenting on a whole host of issues. So, Scott, thanks so much for taking time to be with us. Look, we haven't taken any time yet, Scott, to talk about how people can connect with you. Where can they look for you? You told me you've got your own podcast. Tell us about that.
I do. Yes. So a couple things. My main ministry is Savior Martial Arts, and you can find us on the web, Savior, S-A-V-I-O-R, Martial Arts, MARTIALARTS.org. We're a nonprofit ministry. We're housed in Virginia Beach, Virginia. We have schools around this area, and we also have affiliates around the country. That's my main thing. We do a lot of seminars. We do a lot of, been doing a whole lot of active shooter courses for people over the last decade or so. And children programs, adult programs. It's really, we say we build black belts from the inside out. That is my main ministry. That's my main, life ministry. But the other thing that really gets me excited, and I do minister all over the country and all over the world, is just encouraging regular Christians, just like you, to step into the fullness of everything Jesus paid a price for. And I'll tell you, it's not just so we go to church on Sunday. It's so that everywhere we go, we bring the light. And really what we do is we equip people to pray for people in the public square, in the grocery store line, in the bank teller, at the Starbucks with the barista. And you know what? These people are seeing folks rededicate their life to the Lord in the parking lot of Home Depot. They're seeing people saved. They're seeing people delivered. I mean, it is not uncommon for us to see people supernaturally healed regularly. And this is available to every single Christian. It's not for the elite few. So that's the other big thing. And that's what my podcast is about. It's called Firestorm United. And I'm actually on the Charisma Podcast Network, or anywhere you look for podcasts. Firestorm United is that ministry.
And that's Firestorm really United. Well, Scott, I can't wait to check it out. I want to thank you for being our guest tonight, man. You have really done a magnificent job laying out some very, very important principles. Thank you so much, and I hope I can have you back again.
Let's talk again. Bless you, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. All right. Have a great rest of the show. All right.
Thank you. Thank you, Scott. God bless you.
God bless.
Wow. Folks, I'll tell you, I never cease to be amazed at how God uses different people in different circumstances, different venues, different ways. You know, I think sometimes we as Christians can be so narrow in our thinking, but you know, God is the God who is in everything, everything that's good, everything that's righteous, everything that's helpful to people. He's involved in nothing that is harmful to people, that is self-destructive. He's always trying to involve himself in the lives of people who are engaged in those activities to bring them out. But when God said, be salt and light, Jesus said, be salt and light, you know, salt does no good if it stays in the shaker. And he said, light is no use, is not useful if you put it under a basket. You got to put it up on a lampstand so it lights everything. And in other words, so it gets into every nook and cranny. So here's a guy who's a lawyer, he's a martial arts trainer, and he's a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm sure you heard that loud and clear, that he's a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so find out more about Scott and check him out, look up his podcast and see what he's up to. Broaden your horizons. Well, look, the other thing I wanted to get to, I said we had a jam-packed program, and we do. If I'd had the time, I would have given this to my producers and maybe had a little excerpt for you. But on Monday, we released Exodus Now, the sequel. Now, some of you may not be familiar with this, but a decade ago, I released a video called Exodus Now. And that video was dedicated to saying, particularly to black voters, come out of the Democrat Party. And I laid out the case for why that is. And that video went viral. That was before the big tech people had figured out how to control what went out and not allow things to go viral that they didn't want to go viral, and not to allow people to hear things that they didn't want them to hear. And you saw what they did with Ronna McDaniel, and whether you know it or not, I am no fan of Ronna McDaniel. I called several years ago for Ronna McDaniel's resignation. So I am no fan of Ronna McDaniel. But to fire her because people don't want to hear her point of view. This is totalitarianism, folks. This is not a free constitutional republic when people behave that way. This is more akin to Marxism, socialism. It's tyranny. And what is, look, I don't disagree with, I don't agree with a lot of what Ronna McDaniel thinks. I'd be happy to debate her. Let her be on television. Hear her point of view. Point out where she's wrong. Convince others that they shouldn't give credence to her point of view. But oh, no. That's not the way totalitarianists think. Shut them down. And folks, that's exactly what they want to do to you and me. So Exodus Now, a decade ago, went viral on its own, and millions of people saw it. I still meet people who say, that's the first time I'd heard about you. I saw that video. In fact, when I was at Pastor Gary Hamrick's church, he said, that's the first time I learned about you. Somebody showed me that video. And I said, wow, who is this guy? Well, that doesn't happen anymore, because now they're controlling things. They're censoring us. That's why Truth and Liberty is so important, folks. And every other Christian outlet that is truly espousing the gospel of Jesus Christ, preaching the whole counsel of God, not holding back, not compromising, not trying to figure out how not to insult or offend people who might not quite agree and all of that. I had a preacher tell me one time years ago, he said, well, I can't preach pro-life in my church. He said, I've got Democrats in my church. I said, well, you ought to get them saved. You know, because the word of God is not a matter of opinion. It's a matter of truth. Well, I lay out the case in something called Exodus Now, the sequel. And you can get Exodus Now, the sequel by going to my website, standamericapac.us. Now, that's different because this, since this gets into politics, I didn't put this under the 501c3. It's under the PAC. So it's standamericapac.us. Go check out, not right now, but after the program, go check out Exodus Now, the sequel. And I make what I consider to be a very, very powerful argument, and I'll summarize it for you. It is a little bit of a lengthy video. It runs about 10 minutes, but, you know, we are Christians. We can handle 10 minutes. But I'll say in summary what I said in that video. And by the way, again, I'm open to taking your call, 719-619-2341. That's 719-619-2341. I've made this argument before, and you may not have heard it, but please pay close attention to this, because I think this is going to give you, I said, we're going to stimulate you and really get you thinking. There is a sense in which a thing can change in its outward labeling, appearance, packaging, but the spirit of the thing remains the same. You know what I mean by that? Hey, let me give you a perfect example. Marijuana. They're selling marijuana all over the place now. Medical marijuana. You and I know that most of the people going in to get medical marijuana are going in to get marijuana to get high. You and I know it. The people who sell the stuff know it. The medical community knows it. The whole country knows it. But it's been repackaged now. It has medicinal value. And I'm not discounting that it might have some medicinal value, but I guarantee most of the people who are going to buy marijuana are not buying it for medicine. At least not medicine in the sense that it's actually doing something for their health. It's been repackaged. But the spirit of the thing, which is all about altering one's reality, it's all about altering one's sense of perception. It's giving you an artificial euphoria. It's still the same. Well, I argued in Exodus Now, when you watch it, you'll see, that the Democrat Party has changed its packaging. Remember, the Democrat Party was the party of slavery. The Democrat Party was the party of the Ku Klux Klan. The Democrat Party was the party of segregation. You know, they want to talk about history, and they want to talk about slavery, and they want to talk about reparations. But, you know, you don't ever hear anybody say, well, maybe the Democrat Party ought to pay them. Because the Democrat Party was the party that advocated and defended and promoted slavery and segregation and the racism that became so prevalent in the country. It was a Democrat phenomenon. The Republican Party was arguing that black people should have all the same rights as others. It was formed for that basis. And I've already talked about my issues with the Republican Party, but I'm just giving you history right now. I argue in this video, the spirit of the Democrat Party has not changed. It's the same party of power and subjugation and slavery that it was in the antebellum South, except now the slavery is not physical, but it's psychological. But the level of control, the level of brainwashing, the level of imposition of a sense of inferiority on people is still the same as it was then. It is still the slave master's Democrat Party. And I run through some specific examples in that regard to explain exactly what I mean and to show you the analogies. I mean, I say, for example, in the Democrat Party of the slave South, and remember, most people didn't own slaves even in the South. Most people could not afford them. Most people did not own them. It was a small elite minority that owned slaves. Now that's, again, that's another historical fact you won't hear. But during that time, they were, and after slavery, of course, when it became legal for Americans of African ancestry to vote, the Ku Klux Klan arose to prevent people from voting by force. You will not vote under threat of death. I say, well, now the Democrat Party forces you to vote under the mythical threat that if you don't vote, some of these Republicans are going to put you back in slavery. But you better vote the right way, or you'll be punished. Look, they punish you now. I said, it's no longer, it's a high-tech lynching where they don't stretch your neck out on a rope now. They basically destroy your reputation, destroy your ability to earn a living, try to stop you from advancing in life, try to shut you down. If they violated Ronna McDaniel's contract, what in the world do you think they'll do to a Bible-believing Christian who wants to stand up and take principled stands on issues that Ronna McDaniel wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole? I mean, Ronna McDaniel's barely conservative in my view, but they couldn't stand even her. What do you think they have in mind for you and me as Christians, and what do you think they think of a black Christian who does not toe the line, won't bow to the Democrat commands, the Democrat psychological enslavement, but stands up for God and stands up for people as God's creation and God's children and wants to bring people together. What in the world do you think they'll do to us? Well, it's either break away and live freely before God, or bow to that and become part of the machine, which is why you get the phenomenon of 92, 93, 94% of black folks voting for Democrats. Folks, that's not even normal. People don't have that kind of unanimity. And so, and you've got a party, what's it done for them? Beginning in 1965 with the Great Society programs, it destroyed their families. The black family was largely intact. Children being raised in two-parent married monogamous homes up until 1965, overwhelmingly, 75%. And now it's reversed. From the time the Great Society programs were implemented until now, you've seen a reversal of that trend. And now you've got 72 to 80%, depending on where you are in the country. I think the average is about 72%. In some places, like in Richmond, it's 80% of black children being born out of wedlock. Two-thirds of black children never being raised in a two-parent monogamous married home. Two-thirds. I mean, some that are born out of wedlock end up in a married home, sometimes with a step-parent. But two-thirds never do. You know how many have never even met their fathers? Because they're in jail or they're dead or they got so many children scattered around that they don't care. The same Democrat Party that sold families, split families because it was convenient for slavery is the same Democrat Party that destroyed the black family because it was convenient for their political agenda. They don't want strong institutions like the family. They don't. In slavery, the segregated South, it was against the law to teach black people to vote. It was against, to teach black people to read. It was against the law. Now what do you have? You got inner city schools that are graduating kids functionally illiterate. 87% of black children who, man, that we're just talking about the graduates now. Remember, the graduation rates are bad, but just the ones who graduate, 87% functionally illiterate, reading it at eighth grade level or less. Now, why is that? Because the teachers' unions have decided that they don't care about the education of these inner city kids. What they care about is the votes of their parents. And frankly, the more ignorant they are, the easier it is to fool them into thinking that by voting for a Democrat, you're voting for some kind of liberation. You're voting against racism. It's a ruse. It's a deception. I need you all to help me get that message out. Go to our website, standamericapac.us. Share it with others. Put it on your Facebook pages. Ask your friends to share it with others. Get it out there for me. Because it really does. This one needs to go viral as well, but it's not going to go viral without a whole lot of help, because you can rest assured I am being shadow banned. Remember, I told you, YouTube said, we can't let your program be monetized. Your content is harmful. Really? I mean, you've got all kinds of vile garbage being shown on YouTube and on Facebook, but they're shadow banning me because my content is harmful. Why? Because I'm willing to say to people, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And that there's only one name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And it's not Allah, and it's not Buddha, and it's not Hindu. It is the name of Jesus. And that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. That's harmful. That's the most helpful thing anybody will ever hear. but not from the perspective of these leftists who hate God, hate Christianity, hate America insofar as America is rooted and grounded in Judeo-Christian principles, hate Jews because they are also covenant people of Almighty God. Yes, and here's the pièce de résistance. They hate God. They hate God. So they don't believe there is a God. Yeah, but you know, isn't it interesting that you cannot believe there is a God and yet hate him? You hear them talk about God sometimes with such venom and such blasphemy. No, somewhere in their hearts, they know God is real, but they don't want to have anything to do with him. They become so deceived by the devil. Like I say, they're so far behind that they think they're ahead. Well, I go through all of that in great detail, and I particularly appeal to Black Christians. See, because we as Christians ought to be united. And let me say in the last few minutes of the program, we have got to, and this is where Andrew's leadership is just absolutely, I mean, in so many ways, his leadership is absolutely sterling. But I just want to highlight this particular aspect of it. Andrew Womack brings people together based upon the Word of God. And your denomination doesn't matter, and your past doesn't matter, and your history doesn't matter, and what you believe before, and the church you went to doesn't matter. And he's not trying to pull anybody out of their church, but his ministry is uniting people across denominational lines, across racial lines, across all lines. And that's what we desperately need. We desperately need that. A house divided against itself cannot stand. And one of the devil's greatest weapons against us as Christians is to keep us divided from one another. Christians over here in one racial group, Christians over here in another racial group, and Christians over there in one denomination, Christians over there. When Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, by your love for one another." Wow. Really? Yes. Are you actually telling me that Baptists are supposed to love Pentecostals? Boy, there's a radical idea. You can tell. But of course, I'm being a little bit absurd there, but believe me, I have seen some pretty sharp division on the basis of denominational affiliation. I really have. I mean, so much so that some preachers wouldn't even want to go into a church because they don't like the denomination that the church is. And I'm not talking about some cult. I'm talking about a bona fide Christian denomination, but some preachers, I'm not going in there. I'm not setting foot into it, and you name it. It plays into the hands of the enemy, folks. That's all it does. Every one of us as Christians ought to be inspired to act, to speak on the basis of the fact that we have a biblical worldview and we are one family in Jesus Christ, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God who is in all and over all and through all. That's who we are. That's our true identity. And we allow this melanin that shows up in different shades in different people to get in the way. Or we allow a certificate that says we are, and then name the denomination, we are this, and then somebody else's certificate says we are this, I was baptized as this, to say, oh, well, we're not having a fellowship with them. Our country is being dragged into hell in a handbasket, and we are arguing over particular doctrinal issues that in the end don't really determine whether anybody is going to go to heaven or go to hell. But if we get stuck in that, we can certainly watch our country, as Psalm 9:17 says, our country, our nation be turned, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. We can watch our nation be turned into hell while we're arguing over the meaning of a particular verse. You know, one of the things I said before is, I will not spend not one moment of time arguing with a Christian over a doctrinal issue unless it's essential. If you tell me, well, I'm a Christian and I don't believe that God is a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, okay, we got a problem. Well, you tell me, I'm a Christian, I don't believe that Jesus is God come in the flesh, okay, now we've got a problem, because I don't believe that you're a Christian if you don't believe that Jesus is God come in the flesh. Yeah, something's clearly very, very wrong. But arguing over some of the things that people want to fuss with each other about, I'm just not doing it. I'm not a dispensationalist, but I'm not going to argue with you about it. And a dispensationalist are people who believe, well, the gifts ended. All that supernatural manifestation, all that ended with the death of the last apostle. Okay. Well, you can believe that if you want. I don't believe that, but I'm not going to argue with you about it. I'm just not doing that. Because there's too much we do agree on. And if you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to be in heaven one day and we'll probably laugh about the dumb disagreements we had. Because Jesus is going to be there to straighten them all out. Probably going to look at each of us and say, well, you were wrong about this. Me, Lord? Yes. You don't. I'll say to all of us, nobody has it 100% right but Jesus. So we approach each other with just a little bit of humility. Not that we give up our convictions, obviously. But we approach each other with some humility and love and just work together. You know, we can save our country together as Christians if we will do that. And say, you know what? We're all following the same Lord. We're all under His guidance, direction, leadership. And we know He wants our country to reflect His glory. We're working toward that. We're not sweating the rest right now. We're not sweating the rest. Let's defend our First Amendment liberty. All of us. Let's defend the Judeo-Christian culture upon which our Constitution is based and upon which our Declaration is based. All of it. I started out the program talking about people criticizing the God Bless the USA Bible. They said because it has in it the Declaration of Independence. I think it has the Constitution as well. And people are complaining about that. They've got the Constitution. They've added to the Bible. this is the craziness. I've got a Heritage Bible. It's got all kinds of references in it that are not the text of the Scripture. I know the difference between the commentary and the references and the essays and the Bible itself. Just because it's between the two covers doesn't mean it's all Bible. The Bible is what's from Genesis to Revelation. I would hope Christians wouldn't fuss with each other about things like that. I like the New King James Version. I think the old King James Version is great. I like the New King James Version. I'm not going to fuss with anybody about you don't like my version. Come on. We can't, folks. That's a road that leads us nowhere. While the world is falling down around us, we're over here arguing about minors. In the broad sweep of things, about minors. Let's not do that to each other. Let's not do that to our country. Our country needs the body of Christ, and God wants, indeed has commanded, the body of Christ to be united in Him. And that I've dedicated my life to that principle, and I'm going to keep working toward that, and I hope you will with me as well. Look, it's been a pleasure and an honor once again to be here with you on Truth and Liberty. I hope you've been encouraged and enlightened and inspired. And I hope that if you had any sense of fatigue about standing up for what you know is right, it's over. you are rip roaring ready to go. You're ready now to chew nails and spit bullets, metaphorically speaking, of course. You stand up, step up, speak up, refuse to back up, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
Thank you for joining today's Truth and Liberty livecast. You can watch today's and past livecasts in our archives at truthandliberty.net. Our goal is to educate Christians and connect them with resources and organizations to help them impact their sphere of influence. You can help us accomplish this by making a donation at truthandliberty.net/donate. Join us next time for more Truth and Liberty.